Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com. As if you're lighting a bag of you-know-what on fire and putting in front of a door, the North is sending back balloons, weather balloon-type full of garbage, and there's video of this garbage all over the streets of different areas of South Korea. Now, no casualties or anything like that, but it's a mess and it's a pain and all that. And the North is basically saying, yeah, we're going to keep doing this.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Coming up on 6:12, a Monday morning. This MPS story is not just about MPS. It's about every public school district in the state of Wisconsin. I'll explain that in a moment. Things could come to a head tonight.
The board is taking this matter very seriously, and we want to hear from the public.
Yeah, that was from the last time the school board met late last week. Parents upset, and today they will get to speak in turn. Public comment will be taken at tonight's special meeting. That'll be the fireworks, but the main event could be disciplinary action or even dismissal of MPS Superintendent Dr. Keith Polsley. This became public late last week. So this the special meeting was scheduled, and then there was an addendum or a change to the
agenda.
Yes, to the agenda. And here it is, a closed-door session calling for possible action concerning the administrative assignment status of the superintendent closed notice session. In other words, we're going to take Dr. Polsley in back and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get fired. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. But if they're going to talk about his status, they have to put that in public notice. I told you this affects the entire state. How exactly? In the course of just over a week, we found out that funding for the federal government for MPS-run Head Start programs was being suspended over concerns of mistreatment of students. And that state funding for MPS is now in jeopardy because administrators are 8 months delinquent on reporting basic data to the Department of Public Instruction.
What we've indicated to them is that we were very unlikely to be able to move forward with payments without some plan for how they're going to get us the data that we need.
That's Department of Public Instruction Executive Director Sachin Chetta talking with WTMJ. Chetta said they need to get funding notices out to every school district this month. How much can you count on wherever you live, wherever the school district, coming from the state as local school districts set their budgets for the coming year? Well, they're saying without this data from MPS, they can't figure out funding for the state's largest school district. And without that biggest line item, they can't see how much is left.
Differentiate for everybody else.
What is everybody else's cut? So this failure by MPS is not only an MPS problem. It's an everybody problem at this point. As for the future of Dr. Polsley, he is the chief administrator. All this is coming back on him. School board said they didn't even know this data for DPI was missing.
No, we're in a horrible position right now financially. Horrible. And the board had no clue. And I hate that we wasn't given this information.
School board director Daryl Jackson at the last meeting. And what do they say in business? What's worse than delivering bad news to your boss?
Not delivering any news to your boss?
Yes. And your boss is surprised by stuff that he or she, or in this case, they find out from some other place. And that appears to be the case here. The number one job of the school board is to hire and manage the CEO of the company. And that's the superintendent, who, by the way, is not talking.
Are you concerned about the DPI? Impacts every student in Wisconsin.
It's TMJ4's Megan Lee shouting questions at Keith Polsley. TMJ4's Jenna Ray, you saw that. She tracked him down in a parking lot.
Doing everything she can to get him to say something.
Not biting. Well, he may not be talking to the public, but he's going to have to answer to the board tonight as the board hears from an increasingly fed up public.
We want to hear from the public.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
It's always tough getting up on a Monday morning, starting a new week, but I got some good news for you. The Milwaukee Brewers are 36-23. They are 7 games up over the St. Louis Cardinals. Hey, keep putting that foot on the old gas pedal, though. Keep going. Great weekend, Vince, of the sweep of the Chicago White Sox. Wasn't easy. Sox aren't very good, but man, they came to play. They are a scrappy bunch. Pivotal moment in Sunday's win. Eighth inning, Brewers up one when the Sox tried to tie the game on a sac fly.
Infield's up. Pitch swung on. Popped up. Left field, Yelich is coming in. Tagging at third is Pham. Here's the catch from Yelich. The throw to the plates all the way through. The tag. Got him at home! Wow! From the outhouse to the penthouse. And the Brewers end up allowing nothing.
All right, what a great call. So Tommy Pham was out at home. He's the White Sox outfielder. He was not happy with how William Contreras kind of celebrated after the tag.
Yeah, showed him the glove a little bit.
So listen to the call here on NBC Sports Chicago. Their announcers here.
Here's the throw to the plate. And he's out. And Contreras is barking at him. Tommy Pham barking back. He's not backing down. He doesn't like that. And now home plate umpire Edwin Jimenez has to hold back Pham.
All right. Okay. Hold on. I mean, yeah. he was out. Everyone agrees.
Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year. We ain't taking that.
All right.
You took it.
You're out.
I think you took it.
Whether you like it or not, you're out. The Brewers would tack on two more in the bottom half, winning 6-3 up next for the crew, the Phillies. Now, another storyline in this game was Pat Murphy. He was going to give Willie Adames and the aforementioned Willie Contreras, Wilson Contreras, the day off on Sunday. They weren't having it. Clearly upset about it. Stormed into the office, talked to Pat Murphy about it.
Contreras usually gets Sundays off, right? You got to give that guy a rest.
No, I want to play.
Okay.
Murphy ultimately put them in the game. Said, okay, you're in the lineup. Because you know how Murphy is. He's like, okay, you're that fiery?
I respect it.
I love this, what he said about him after the game. He said, hey, they want to play. And his point?
Savages.
That they're savages. Boom. There you go. You want to like this baseball team? Now you love this baseball team. Red Hot Crew head to Philadelphia tonight. What a series starting tonight. Our coverage starts 5:05. First pitch 5:35 right here on WDTMJ.
Be a little
radio.
Different test in Philly. Philly's leading the NL East.
They also.
Right? Savages.
Over there.
Green Bay Packers back at OTA's organized team activities again this week. Today, tomorrow, and Thursday is the schedule at 1265 Liberty Avenue. Expect at some point to hear again from the players. Head coach Matt LaFleur, mandatory mini camp coming up later in June. On a Monday morning, Wisconsin's Morning News. You can watch us live on the YouTubes anytime. We've got our own YouTube channel. Check in on the studio here. Text WATCH to 855-616-1620 if you need the link to that. Otherwise, you can just click the WATCH Now app on, or WATCH Now button on our mobile app or at WTMJ.com. Stack show today. A lot of stuff to get through. A little bit more on the MPS situation coming up. That's going to be a big thing. And as I said earlier, if you just missed that, this MPS problem is not just an MPS and Milwaukee problem. It's affecting every school district in the state that needs to be resolved. And there's a big meeting tonight in Milwaukee. More on that coming up at about 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Something else I want to put on your radar today. When's the last time you thought seriously about COVID-19? And I don't mean like, you know, we say things like, well, post-COVID, or remember during COVID, we were, you know, the societal repercussions. I mean, like, thought about, gee, I wonder if I have COVID, or someone else has COVID, or I should go get tested. Like, when's the last time that was part of your thought process?
It's been a minute or two, for sure.
It's like largely vanished from the public mindset. It's still out there. People are still getting it, but we're handling it now like we sort of handle a cold. We don't ask people to test for the most part. Folks who are uncomfortable in a situation with lots of people put a mask on. Nobody bothers them for the most part. That's up to you. We just sort of moved on. Yeah. Well, we are still very much deliberating and debating where this novel virus came from and how we handled the pandemic. Dr. Anthony Fauci will be on Capitol Hill today, testifying before Congress, first time since he left his position. ABC's Alan Kosick.
Today, Dr. Fauci is expected to face questions about social distancing, masking, and remote schooling, and whether guidance on those issues approved by the CDC director was based on science.
That is not, however, those are important questions, and we still need to go back over what did we do right, what did we do wrong, and folks are going to have different ideas about that. But that's not going to be the biggest story today. Fauci is under increased criticism as it's coming out. Some key figures in the global response to COVID's emergence may have been hiding their correspondence with one another. and deliberately downplaying the potential of a lab leak as the origin of COVID-19 because they played in some way possibly a role in the controversial research that was happening at the Wuhan lab in China. This is not any longer just the MAGA crowd. This is not just Republicans. Here's this from Politico. Democrats vigorously defended the public health bureaucracy and especially its leader, Anthony Fauci, when Republicans sought to tear it down during the pandemic. But now, in an unexpected twist, Democrats on a House investigative panel, that's the one meeting today, are starting to join their GOP colleagues in questioning whether government-backed scientists were fully transparent about controversial virus research and whether a longtime advisor to Fauci skirted public records requests. More on that from ABC's Kosick again.
Ahead of the hearing, a subcommittee has released a transcript of closed-door interviews with Fauci in January in which he was questioned about whether he knew about former colleagues allegedly skirting public records laws. In one email exchange, a former colleague wrote to another, "There is no worry about Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIAs. I can either send stuff to Tony on his private Gmail or hand it to him at work or at his house. He is too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble."
Okay.
So she's talking about FOIA, which is what we use in journalism. Yep. Anybody can do it.
And no, I know a lot of people with Gmail accounts too.
Mm-hmm. And so your government account, anything that any person from your school superintendent to teachers to anybody who works in government, those documents are public. And you can, as a private citizen or as a journalist, request, "I'd like to see the correspondence between Dr. Anthony Fauci and these people. I'd like to see anything Dr. Fauci said in his emails about X, Y, you know, whatever."
Yeah. And the window in response can vary at times.
Yes. How quickly they respond to it. But they are duty bound by law to save those documents and to share them with the public upon request, with some caveats for national security and other things playing a part in that. Nonetheless, what is being alleged here is that some associates of Dr. Fauci were going around that by sending stuff to his Gmail account as opposed to his government emails, because you don't necessarily have, the public doesn't necessarily have a right to see what's in someone's private Gmail. Now they may, Congress may get into that and say, no, we're going to need to see these Gmails. Whether any of this today lands squarely on Dr. Fauci or really definitively connects the dots, as we've moved on from COVID sort of in our personal lives, investigators are still working to figure out exactly where this came from, who knew what when, in the pandemic that forever altered the lives of a generation. It is 627 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Situation taking place overseas that reminds me of like a petty fraternity battle on Greek row at any random college.
College hijinks?
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. A nasty fight over so-called trash balloons overseas between the North and the South Korea.
North Korea has flew over 1,000 balloons carrying trash and manure to the South.
Yeah, you heard that right. 1,000 balloons carrying trash and or manure to South Korea.
Why is this happening?
They're upset with how the South is sending what they call anti-propaganda leaflets to the North, saying like, hey, heads up, here's what the regime is going on, here's what's really happening.
I think U.S. did that in Afghanistan, in Iraq, right? You would send out things of like, hey, this is, we just want to let you know this is the real information from us. Okay. So South Korea sends that up into North Korea.
As if you're lighting a bag of you-know-what on fire and putting in front of a door, the North is sending back balloons, weather balloon type, full of garbage. And there's video of this garbage all over the streets of different areas of South Korea. Now, no casualties or anything like that, but it's a mess and it's a pain and all that. And the North is basically saying, yeah, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep sending you garbage if you keep sending this these leaflets up our way.
You send your garbage, we'll send you back our garbage.
And it reminds me of like every fraternity prank or whatnot, or two rival colleges stealing a mascot head or something. Well,
okay, so what is the equivalent of that in this case? What could South Korea go into the North and steal?
Right? They don't have like a mascot goat or anything, right?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Some sort of prized animal from their zoo or
prize car that Kim Jong-un has, you know, so, like his favorite, his favorite Rolls Royce that he drives around
go
in.
Go deface his green train that he tools around yes, into, yeah, into China. Train, yes. He likes his train.
Something like that, maybe. Anyway, so we'll see. They say they will stop if there are no more propaganda. But as of now, the balloons continue to fly.
Tough test ahead for the Brewers. Now we're playing the Phillies out east. We'll have sports coming up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The Brewers head east for a series against the Phillies starting tonight. Oh, it's going to be a delicious one. This after a sweep of the feisty White Sox. Sox may not have a good record, but boy, they play hard. It's a tough series.
At some point, you get tired of being a punching bag. These right. guys, you know, it's an old cliche, but they get paid on the other side too, right. you know?
Much more on Tommy Pham. We'll do that at 7:15. Brewers win 6-3. So interesting moment out of the game, though, from yesterday. Before the game, Pat Murphy had Willy Adames and William Contreras out of the lineup, just giving them a day, which is what you do.
William usually gets Sundays anyway, right?
Just wanted to get him rested for the big Phillies series, and they weren't having it. They were really upset about it. Murphy explained afterward.
I decided that this was a good day to give them a day off. And when they got word of that, they were really upset. They didn't want the day off. And we had a conversation. I let him go out of the room and think about it. Came back, called him back in, said, "You're in." That's the entire truth. It's exactly how it happened.
You got to love that, Murph, because their presence, I mean, we know what Willie has done for Churio, for example, what William does for your pitchers.
You love it. They want to play. Savages. You know, they want to play.
Savages. Yes. Yes. How can you not love these guys?
That's who I want on my team. I want savages.
And he rewarded them. Yeah. They came in hot, and he rewarded them for it. I think that's amazing what Murph did.
And what's more, they went out and performed, too.
William or
had both of those guys gone out and laid an egg, then it's like, yeah, geez, the skipper was right.
Contreras almost 1 yard. He got robbed. Red Hot Crew now head to Philadelphia tonight. Our coverage starts at 5:05. First pitch, 5:35, right here on WTMJ. Hey, real quick on this. So I don't know how closely you've been following the WNBA since Caitlin Clark has jumped
More closely
into the
than I ever have.
Right? Yeah, right. Me too.
Yes, of
course. You're following it now. Never followed it before. She's getting hit hard a lot. And her team, the Fever, played the Chicago Sky over the weekend. Big matchup because the Chicago Sky has Angel Reese, who used to play for LSU, and they, you know, they have a
history.
They
had a thing.
Yeah.
They have beef.
And Clark got fouled hard, and it had nothing to do with basketball. It was just a hard foul during one of the games over the weekend against the Sky. And now they're trying to figure out how they're going to respond to it.
I grew up playing the basketball with the boys, so like it's always been physical and feisty.
Clark's coach calling the foul unacceptable.
That was a non-basketball play that happened.
Many online criticized the foul, tennis great Martina Navratilova saying, "This is not okay." Others say tough hits are just part of the game.
Now, the foul wasn't by Angel Reese. It was Kennedy Carter of the Sky who did it, just knocked her over. And it's very curious what is happening now, almost if it's envy or jealousy or if it's just to get in her head. What you don't want to do is hurt her. That's the last thing you want to do because she is helping the league by playing.
Well, and there are a lot of theories on social media as well that this is about race, that it's about things.
I hope not.
And that's all floating around there as well as more people have started turning an eye to the WNBA. So that story is only just beginning.
Yeah.
We've got more on the Milwaukee Public School Board's flap ahead. There's a big meeting tonight. Why this affects every school district in the state. That is coming up next. Tonight, Milwaukee Public School Board holds a hastily scheduled special meeting at the request of Board President Marva Herndon.
The board is taking this matter very seriously, and we want to hear from the public.
Are you sure about that?
Let's talk about it. Give us the dollar amount, Marva. How much he's screwing over NPS this time?
Shame! You will not shut us up!
That's the last time the board heard from the public. That was Thursday night's meeting last week, where they were supposed to vote on the proposed budget for the coming school year. Instead, called the police on parents and others who were at the meeting who kept interrupting.
Good evening, President Herndon and members of the board. Keith Fosley, Superintendent of Schools.
Security.
This month's report highlights
a good night for Superintendent Keith Posley, who got booed when introducing himself. More on Dr. Posley in a moment, as the revised agenda for tonight also includes a closed session of the board where his future with MPS will be discussed. But let's back up and revisit what this is all about. In the course of just over a week, we found out that funding from the federal government for MPS-run Head Start programs was being suspended over concern of mistreatment of students. And that state funding for MPS is in jeopardy because administrators literally didn't do their homework.
They organized for the city to pay a $250 million referendum while they knew he didn't turn in his homework.
Yeah, that guy there was on fire. We're going to focus on some of his comments more in a moment. But finishing the point, MPS is required to submit financial records to the State Department of Public Instruction in September. Not only did they not submit them, it sounds like they've completely dropped the ball.
What we've indicated to them is that we were very unlikely to be able to move forward with payments without some plan for how they're going to get us the data that we need.
What stands out to you there?
Some plan.
Without exactly what I heard. Without some plan. Not simply like, hey, send in those reports, or we didn't get the reports, or even, hey, finish up those reports, but without even a plan.
Anything.
To get this stuff done and off to DPI, months delinquent. That's Department of Public Instruction Executive Director Sachin Chetta talking with WTMJ. And here's the thing. Before you want to say, what do I care about what happens at MPS? I don't live there. We live in a suburb, or we live in an exurb, or whatever. This MPS problem is affecting every other public school district in the state.
We have to make sure that a month from now, when we deliver aid estimates to the entire state, that those are as accurate as possible. And so that's why we are riding MPS hard.
So MPS officials did not do the basics of their job. Even DPI is saying, we're not sending you any more money until you get us this data or some plan, right?
Some plan.
So what is at stake tonight? We've got a school board meeting tonight. Originally was scheduled simply to take public comment, as the board at least recognized with those parents showing up. Like, people have stuff they want to say about this. They also added late an addition to the agenda for tonight, and that is a closed-door session where they would consider the future of Superintendent Keith Posley. Posley's not talking.
Are you concerned about the DPI? Impacts every student in Wisconsin.
It's TMJ4's Megan Lee. She was shouting at Posley as he left for a closed-door session at that last meeting. TMJ4's Jenna Ray tracked him down in a parking lot the other day, was shouting questions at him. He had, like,
was
no
not response, talking.
Not playing. And he had some guy with him, too. I don't know if it was a communications guy, but the guy's like, well, you need to ask for an interview, which, fair enough. I've been that guy, and I've never been somebody who wanted to chase people down and be like, you need to talk to me, whatever. But when you get stonewalled, when you've gone through the channels and you've said, I need this person on the record, and I don't talk about regular old folks. It's a public official. And when you've asked for that meeting and you don't get it.
Multiple times, by the way.
Then I'm sorry. Yeah. you're gonna get found in the parking lot. So public comments tonight. It's going to be a barn burner at the auditorium at MPS headquarters. Meeting starts at 5:30.
We want to hear from the public.